Hello and welcome in to another episode of Qi Time with me, Clara Apollo, here on UK Health Radio. I'm a Qigong teacher and I absolutely love ecstatic dance as well and playing Tibetan sound bowls and just being with that natural movement that wants to animate me. I feel it's totally healthful. I feel like it's a total body workout, to be honest. And in a few weeks' time, we're going to get one of my amazing ecstatic dance DJs to come and speak with us. But on this episode of Qi Time, I have got for you a really special woman. She is so talented in the arena of, yes, Qigong. In fact, she uses Qigong to help support and inspire her creativity because she's a songwriter and a performer. As I said, she's also a Qigong teacher. And she's a good friend of mine too. Just slip that one in. So it's an absolute delight to welcome Tallulah Rendell back into Qi Time. Hello, sweetheart.
Hello, my darling. Lovely to be here. Thank you.
Okay, we're just going to fess up. The last time we were hanging out was on my 60th birthday on the dance floor. And Tallulah was, she was about to go home, I think. And then we just ended up, rocking it. And before you knew it, there was a little band grew, didn't it? And we had such a good time. So I love your spontaneity and I love your creativity. And let's explore how Qigong has supported you over the years. So how did you first find Qigong, or how did it find you?
So I guess it's going back nearly 20 years, a long time. I was coming off the back of my second album and I've been touring all around the world and I basically totally burnt out. And I got back to the UK and put this prayer out, this call out to the universe, just asking for help. I knew that I wanted to carry on writing, carry on performing, but that my lifestyle was unsustainable. Mm-hmm. And a Taoist Qigong teacher, Taoist priest, basically rocked up on my dance floor. He's actually a great dancer as well. He rocked up on my doorstep and he basically gave me acupuncture. He taught me about nutrition. He taught me Qigong, and my body's response to it was so visceral. It was so tangible. It was so immediate. I kind of went from being so anemic and like incapable of climbing stairs to just suddenly the energy coming back into my body. And so I just began exploring it, and I went on retreats and I went on Qigong camps, and I just found that it was just like tapping into this mainstream of energy, of coherence, of kind of inspiration, of connectivity. And it has totally transformed my life, and it has become the kind of cornerstone. It's just a bedrock of everything, really. Everything without that kind of grounding, that central channel, that connection between heaven and the earth and the heart, I think I would be orbiting around the outer stratosphere. But that kind of brings me in completely. And then I trained as a teacher, not because I actually wanted to teach. I just wanted a deeper immersion. And the only way to do that was to train. And so I did that with the British School of Shiatsu in Bristol with Nicola Lay. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing my teacher training, Nicola said to me, you have to teach. And I said, I don't want to teach. I've spent decades standing in front of people. I just don't want to do that anymore. And she said, you have to. And she said, you're a sound being, so why don't you just incorporate sound into your practices? And that was basically like this doorway opened and life expanded, and I started incorporating sound into the Qigong, and that led to the voice empowerment workshops, that led to the creative facilitation workshops, and that led to me actually qualifying as a Qigong teacher.
She got you.
You got me.
Interestingly, Nicola Lee is part of One Qi, which is the hub of Qigong teachers in the UK. And she has actually been on the show. So she's on playback on demand if you want to get a load of her, because she's so much wisdom with that lady. She's a total delight. Yeah. And they're all about empowering people to be truly themselves, which is what Qigong does for us, isn't it? And so you became more who you really are. Mm. Through the practice of Qigong, yeah?
Yeah, I would say it brought me, and it continues to, so, when I'm feeling that lack of coherence in my nervous system, in my body, in my energy field is the Qigong that brings me back. I mean, like, as you and anyone listening will know, it's a constant practice. It's not like,
yes,
you know, you do Qigong once a week and you're suddenly in this kind of refined state of flow. It's a daily thing. And it also, it's a funny thing, funny double-edged sword, because the more that I do the practice, obviously, the more I come into that place of grounded open-heartedness, but it also means the more sensitive I become, and so the more intolerant I become of certain other things, because I just don't want them in my field.
That is such a good point. But I find that it makes your field stronger. So that, yeah, there's energies that we choose not to be around, or they could create dissonance.
Yeah.
When we breathe into our dantians, when we're with that center line of integrity, as you mentioned, that emits a field around us and enable this level of coherency when we keep up the practice. So you are so right to say that it's daily. And I liken this to any other practices to maintain our physical system, or of course with Qigong, it's our energy system as well as the physical.
Yeah.
That, you know, we don't just go to the bathroom once a week, do we? You know, we would get backed up, seriously. It would be painful and not pleasant. So I think the same thing for our energy practices as well. It's ongoing, and different flows and requirements come in at different times. So just bringing you back to when you said that when you first came into Qigong, it was you got a benefit immediately. You noticed something straight away.
Yeah.
And yet Qigong is also notorious for having a cumulative effect, that the more of it you do and play with and be with. And have you found that to be so?
Yeah, for sure. And more often when I'm really in flow, and then when I'm really out.
Yes.
So today I'm feeling massively discombobulated. Okay. And I woke up this morning and I was teaching at 7 a.m. and it was great. It was like,
yeah.
And then I've, you know, got to London and I'm trying to do 10 million things. And I'm really aware of like, oh God, I need to keep bringing myself back in. I need to keep coming back in. That kind of, that need to be resourced, that need to be. So that is that would be a difference in my awareness, because there's the awareness like, oh, I'm feeling a bit discombobulated. Actually, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I've just got to London. I feel overwhelmed. Okay, I need to come back in, rather than I've come to London, I'm just going to ride that wave and drink coffee, which would be a dreadful idea for personally. But, you know, just to like, okay, yes. Need to come back in. So that's a radical gift.
Love it.
That Qigong has really given me.
A radical gift of Qigong. Love that. When you find yourself getting discombobulated and overwhelmed, and let's put our hands up, we've all got that going on, right?
Yeah.
That is the call, the reminder that you have tools within you with this practice that are really effective. That it's like when you do presence yourself internally, you can observe all the kerfuffle. You can go, yeah, and if that, yeah. I was me. I've got this, like I often say that Qigong has saved me from myself, from my incessant personality that wants to say yes to everything. Qigong's going, it's not possible. There is an infinite amount of possibilities and only a finite amount of time and a finite amount of energy that we have within ourselves as human system.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So how has Qigong assisted you with the creative process?
So when I was invited about 6 years ago to teach at Rise Up Singing, which is a singing camp down in Dartmoor, and I was invited to come on board as one of the facilitators and to run the songwriting creative facilitation workshops, it's like a 10-day journey that we go on. And when I was trying to work out my process of creativity, it was like kind of, okay, that's where I end up, and kind of spiraling backwards and coming backwards and kind of coming into that. What happens for me is I drop into that liminal space, which is why one of my albums ended up being called the liminal, that place between realities, or that place that we drop into in meditation. But for me, when I'm teaching or holding space as a creative facilitator, it's about bringing people in to that space of alignment so that they can really tune into their heart, so that they can really tune into what's present and communicate from that place. So for me, as a songwriter, it's about doing that. It's about coming present to my body, being present in my heart, and whether that's pleasant, you know, or it's a joyful flow, or maybe there's like a real like, you know, but actually being with what's there, and from that place, sharing what it is that I want to share. And I think the biggest impact that the Qigong has had on that globally as a process is it's refined my communication. So if you were just to listen to the album that I was recording in 2004 2005, you know, if you're a massive Kate Bush fan, you'd probably be like, yeah, I'm down with this. Just to say, I've never been a massive Kate Bush fan. I do really like Kate Bush, but people are always like, are you a massive Kate Bush fan? But they're really kind of, there's a lot of metaphor, or, you know, you could put it under the umbrella of metaphor, but I think it was just me being incoherent and slightly like confused in my descriptive ways. Whereas now when I songwrite, for me, there's a real clarity in the lyrics. There's a real clarity in the songs. There's a real, it's like I am more in, I'm more embodied, I am more present. And the parts of me that, you know, we all have these parts that are kind of activated at different times, but they are generally more within me, more gathered. And so with this next album, there's a real clarity in the songwriting that feels marked. It's like a progression from the album before, and then that, you know, the albums after this, it's a continual evolution as I continue to evolve as a you know, spiritual being in a body, you know. It's like, you know, just
exactly, and that's the way of it, isn't it? It's the whole creative process as it unfurls through you. So that album from the early 2000s would have been right on for you then. And it formed the bedrock or the sounding board for you to then build on top
Completely.
You know, and this thing about the language of qi, as you're saying, when you're facilitating the Qigong, it's not about us saying, right, put your left arm here and your right arm there, in, out, shake it all about. It's more tuning into the space of like, okay, maybe you're describing something like hip circles, but how that gets described in that moment will be in response to all the people there and what you're sensing and feeling. Do they want to be more inward here, or we've got a more of a physical bunch? Or there's something about that intuition, that with the qi field, that informs us, that we pick up on that from this internal sensitivity and then respond from there. And that's similar with songwriting,
I would say so,
Responding to the energy. So this is you presencing more and more of your essence, and that anybody that has seen and experienced Tallulah Rendell live, oh my goodness, I'm lucky because I have. In fact, I remember fabulous gig that we did with you in the New Forest in a treehouse. That is just going to be one of
those. It was amazing.
So amazing.
Really amazing.
And you just started to perform the Liminal album live. That was it, wasn't it? And the Liminal. And I was talking of ecstatic dance. I was on the dance floor last Wednesday in Glastonbury in the Red Brick Building, and the lovely Dana Amadei was on the decks. What a star she is. And the very last track she played is the track that I would like to play you now here on Qi Time on UK Health Radio. And it's called Radiate. And I wonder if there's a story behind this or something you'd like to say about this track, Tallulah.
So what I really love about this track is it was the kind of, just to talk about it in a sonic space first, it's the kind of accumulation of these two worlds coming together. So there's my world as a sound therapist, and my world as a rock and roller. And when I was co-producing it, rather than using synths or samples, you know, I recorded my gongs and my singing bowls. And so the sonic sphere of it has this very expansive kind of, it's got that, got those sounds, those healing like vibrations in it. And then that's kind of mixed in with the kind of electronica and the dance floor kind of vibes. But even the kick drum in that has got, you know, I sampled my gong, and that's kind of underpinning the, so there's that kind of container of holding in it. So from a kind of production perspective, that's one thing. And then just lyrically, Radiate. It's a love song.
It is a love song.
Yeah. And it's a love song, not only, you know, about me and another, but it's also like a love song for ourselves. Like we radiate, we just radiate. And that kind of, I think there's a track on this next album, which is called I'm Enough. And one of the things that I experience on a daily basis, not only as a person, as a human being, but witnessing it in others, is this kind of question of, am I enough? Am I good enough? Am I doing enough? You know, am I loved? Am I, and that actual kind of, what if we could actually believe that we radiate, that we are enough, just as we are, that we are loved, that kind of, you know, and that love that is the ground of our being is there always. And it is in the chi field always. That's radiate. And also, like, for those of you that are watching, so when I'm talking about, so this is one of the albums, so this is Radiates, this is the liminal, and the opening quote is, we are infinite in our potential. But each of the songs on the album has got a picture of the, and then the lyrics next to us, and it's this weave of resonance.
Ooh, weave of resonance. And like you said, if we can believe the truth of the fact that we are energy beings as well as physical beings, and our energy beings radiate, they do, we radiate into the chi field. And when we can radiate love, that is the truth of our being. So here is Tallulah Rendell from the album Liminal with Radiate.
In the spaces in between, dancing in the lyrical liminal dreams, breathing and now all into life. Stepping now and moving forward, following my heart in this dark autumn, and your light is calling as the light is falling. So if this is love, let's take the chance to build it on up. Let's build it to last, cause baby, we just radiate, yeah. We just radiate, yeah. If this is love, let's take the chance to build it on up. Let's build it to last, cause baby, we just radiate, yeah. We just radiate. Let's build it to last, cause baby, we just radiate, yeah.
are back and She Time with me, Clara Apollo, and Tallulah Rendell is with us, and that gorgeous track Radiate from her album The Liminal. And just before we started that track off, Tallulah was talking about the sonic aspects of it all. And could you spot the gongs in there and the multi-layers and the weaving and the... Because it's, yeah, quite an intricate track, really. If you want to hear it again, you can go to her website, TallulahRendell.com, or, of course, listen to Chi Time on demand here on UK Health Radio. I'm feeling the love now. We've radiated love into your lives. It's opened your hearts. You're maybe you even like finding yourself making sounds and singing along to that. And I think that's the thing. Tallulah's got this absolutely exquisite voice, but I still sing along with that in my own croaky way, because there's something about making sound that is so healthful. It's not necessarily about, oh, I'm going to sing into a mic and get recorded like a rock star like Tallulah, but I am inspired to want to make sound when I hear music like that. So should we talk a bit about the healing aspects of making your own sound?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a bit like coming back to that flavour that, you know, we are all creative beings. You know, we live on a creative planet. We are in essence creativity. That's what we do, you know, and that's what life on this planet supports. It's what the energy of life supports, is creative expression. And one of the, you know, those potent ways of being creative is through sound. And we each have our own unique sound. There is only one Clara, there's only one Tallulah. And my voice is the sum of all of my experiences. It's the sum of how my body holds my life's trauma, how my life's experience, and the resonance that comes through me articulates that. Mm. And there's a, you know, I think one of life's biggest travesties is the fact that some people, a lot of people, are told to be quiet, yeah, and aren't encouraged to use their voices as expression, tools of expression. And that doesn't mean like screaming and ranting and throwing your toys out the pram. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like exploring how you can use your own voice to soothe your nervous system. Yeah. And just how you can explore your own vibrations, your own sonic vibrations. And I really encourage, you know, when I work with people one-to-one, and you know, people often come to me wanting to have singing lessons, and I'm not a singing teacher. Like, if you want to learn how to sing perfect pitch and all that kind of stuff, or like, that's not my thing. Like, but if you want to explore how you can use your own voice and become more intimate with your own voice, that's my thing. If you're someone that holds fear and anxiety around sharing your voice, that's my thing. It's kind of coming from that somatic relationship with sound, and that really fascinates me.
Totally. So I actually lost my voice when probably the first year that I was home free. I inhaled the last little slither of a Ricola's cough suite, and I was coughing like a good one. I'd obviously swollen up my vocal cords. It took them absolutely ages to heal, and I was panicking in a way, and I was really jealous of people that could talk properly and that could sing. And from having being a performer, the performance artist myself, it was like I took for granted that I'd always be able to use my voice. And then it got taken away from me for a while. And oh my goodness, the fact I can speak to you here, it's like, yay! I have a brand new microphone, by the way, just kind of saying, yes! But what has helped me with that is not so much singing, but it's sounding. And I found that throughout my Qigong practice that I've, on my own, I like the sounds to be able to come out. I'm just doing, you know, the great wheel of Qi, and on the out-breath coming down the central line, I'll just let the ooh or whatever sound wants to come out of me. And that started to help me heal whatever damage had occurred in my voice. And, you know, I think that's do you find that you make sound when you're doing your Qigong practice?
Totally.
Yes, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just happens, isn't it?
In fact, I think it's one of the, I mean, I've always, like I was saying at the beginning with Nicola and her invitation for me to explore with sound and Qigong, but I feel like one of the silver linings for me of lockdown and teaching online has been just really expanding more into that kind of the size and the kind of being really audible with the voice, with the Qigong. And I really, when I'm teaching, I really encourage people to be really vocal in their size and that kind of dropping of the energy, and just to make use of the fact that they don't have to worry about the fact that they're in a big room, they're in a big room with lots of other people. Because actually, funny enough, you know, when I, you know, I was on a retreat recently, and someone said to me, like, I actually find the amount of noise that you make, like, I wasn't facilitating, I was part of the retreat, really distracting, because it can actually be really invasive, you know, being audible, you know, it can really kind of put some, like, it can really, you know, throw somebody else if you're really like, you know, it's like, yeah, it can be really intense for somebody else whose nervous system is a bit more sensitive. So yeah, it's really interesting how actually in this time of being online,
yeah, you can do
be
it.
Really free and expressive with sound.
Oh, I love it. I agree as well. And in the sessions that I share, I always encourage people, particularly when we're doing shaking, to make whatever sounds want to come out. And I don't mind doing examples of sounds. You can always turn the volume down, but I'm on it, because that's what helps me. And I think that when we are free with our voice and we're expressing the truth of who we are, that encourages other people to do the same. And that's 100%. What we want, isn't it? That's what we want. 100%. So, which leads me into, if we're sort of almost coming from singing from or sounding from a similar sound book, song book. So we're in this expression of the body, the chi field of the body, and the movement of the energy around into our natural creative state. Part of our natural creativity is also to be in tribe, to be in collaboration, to be in connection with others. Mm. And both you and I are members of Bright Sky. Mm-hmm. And we have yet to actually cook up our collaboration, but we know it's there. And that's a wonderful place to land and be with other similar creatives that have an empathy with what we're doing, but also can play alongside with what they're up to. Mm-hmm. And I know that one of your songs from Liminal was also used in a collaboration with City to Sea and our lovely friend Natalie Fee. And that was an extraordinary collaboration, if you don't mind me saying, because it also involved the videographer, didn't it?
Yeah, so City to Sea is a CIC that is focused on removing plastic from the world's oceans. And as a songwriter, one of my focuses is as an activist, and whether that's a spiritual or environmental activist, I've really got on board throughout my career, whether it's with City to Sea or whether it's with Standing Rock or Syrian Refugee Crisis. There's been songs from all my albums that I've collaborated with something that I really believe in to support that. I really believe in the power of music. And, you know, if you just look back through history and how music has brought people together to inspire change or motivational movement. And so with Nat, there was a combination of her and then a really dear friend of mine, Rufus Blackwell, who is one of the world's leading time-lapse photographers and time-lapse videographers. And he very, very generously donated reams of footage that we pieced together to create this beautiful video. And just collaboration for me, I mean, it kind of goes back to that thing that we are herd animals, as you said. And, you know, we can't exist on our own. You know, we need contact, we need holding, we need support. You know, kind of it takes a village to bring up a child. It takes a village to sustain someone else's relationship, to be honest. I think we just generally need a village. But there's that thing of, you know, what happens when you ask for help, for support? And in lockdown, one of the things that was so painful for me was being separate from the musicians that I play music with. And I honestly didn't know that there was going to be another album. I kind of, as what happens with every album, I always think that that's the last one. And, you know, my focus in this last year and a half was on how to stay afloat financially. And I was teaching Qigong and I was doing sound baths online, singing lessons. And all the while in the background, there were these songs that were flowing through that were kind of narrating this experience of what it was like to be in this process of, well, my, you know, that process. And coming out of lockdown and suddenly being able to be with Emmy and Fede and to share these songs and to hear, you know, Emmy on the harp and Fede on the double bass, their, that collaboration, that weave together of sonic resonance and harmony has just been amazing. And, you know, collectively the songs grow and become more than they are just on their own. And that's my experience of everything with collaboration, is just becomes more if you're in the right collaboration.
Yes. Yes.
Then it supports that kind of rising up and sharing.
And in order to rise up and actually share with us, you create crowdfunders. So all of Tallulah Rendell's albums have been funded by a crowdfunder of sorts. Have you used the same platform all the time, or have you moved
around?
No,
I've done it twice independently, twice through Pledge Music, and then this time I'm doing it with Indiegogo.
Okay.
It's been a journey each time, and I honestly didn't think I was going to do it. I wasn't convinced I was going to make another album, and it was my birthday 10 days ago. Not even 10 days ago. On the 20th of September. Is that 10 days ago? I'm not quite sure. Anyway, Natalie Faye, City to Sea, was at my house and she was like, what are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I've got it in me to do another crowdfunder. Do I really want to do it? You know, it's such a big thing to do, not only energetically, but logistically, it is a big thing to do. It really requires a huge amount of brain power and commitment and showing up online and asking.
Yes, and asking.
That is not an easy thing to do at any of the best of times, let alone when we're in a situation like we are now. Anyhow, Nat was like, why don't you just do it? And so literally 48 hours later, the campaign had gone. I woke up next day, I was like, I'm just going to do it. And the campaign was live, and that was a week ago, you know, and it's just, and we're going into the studio tomorrow.
You know,
so everything has just gone. Whoosh.
Because it's meant to be. And you have got an amazing array of pledges on there at all different price points. And it feels to me, you must have just been in your chi flow, and it just, everyone dropped. You know, it's just, you know what you can offer at this price point. It just looks really coherent and realized and ready. So if you'd like to find out more about that, you do have to head over to Tallulah Rendell's Instagram page or her website. Do you want to spell your name for people, Tallulah?
Yeah. So it's Tallulah Rendell. So yeah, if you head over to my website or Instagram or Facebook, there's links there, and you'll kind of funnel through to the world of Indiegogo. And as Clara was saying, there's, you know, the difference between this campaign, I guess, and all the other ones is, in previous campaigns, it was like, you could just buy one of, you know, these are the previous albums. Also, all my albums come with books, and there's artwork for each album. You know, that every song was a collaboration with a different visual artist, not only visual sculptors, jewelry makers, like a whole feast of different creatives. But historically, that was really kind of what I was focusing on in the crowdfunding campaign. Whereas this time, you know, you can have a one-to-one Qigong class with me, or you could have a one-to-one singing lesson, or you could do a one-to-one creative facilitation, or you could have a lot of one-to-ones, or group soundbars. So suddenly actually the expanse of all that I offer as a human being is now part of the crowdfunding campaign. So that's something that's very different. And it's great that people are actually pledging for those things.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And then that's the whole, that collaboration, teamwork, we're all part of helping you get your next album up and running. And I cannot wait to hear it, or even, you know, little snippets, maybe after we press stop on this recording, maybe it might even get a little melody line out of it. But we're coming towards the end. And I wonder if there's anything that you'd just like to leave people with before we play the track that I've chosen of yours to play out with.
So as you're saying that, I just want to check. So my friend said something to me the other day that I just want to, and I was just about to do a post about it, because she said it to me, and then she made this little video, and it's just in regards to the crown fund. She sent this video on what you spend your money on is what you want more of in the world. And it's really interesting, to sit with that. What you spend your money on is what you want more of in the world. Or what you spend your money on is how that really, like, what do you spend your money on? And does that enrich you? Does that support you? Does that nourish you? Or does it scatter you? Is it actually supportive to your chi? And I was just finding that a really beautiful, like a beautiful sentence to sit with. And, Mel, who said it to me when we first crossed paths over 10 years ago, and she got involved in one of my crowdfunding campaigns and helped me build the website. And she was what really inspired her was that she wanted to get involved because she wanted to create a creative reality that she could live in. She wanted to be part of this creative reality.
Yes.
And for that creative reality to exist, she had to crowdfund.
Right.
And so that's what she chose to spend, where she chose to spend her money, so that she could then create this creative reality that she could then be a part of.
So you could say that money is an extension of your chi. It's like an external currency emanation of your chi. Where you place your energy expands and grows. Where you place your money, you encourage more of what you're
Totally.
investing in the world. I
Totally.
love that,
Totally.
Tallulah.
Totally. And that's a
Thank you.
really, I'm really, oh, that's really something that's with me right now.
Yeah. And for you as well, Chi Time listeners, how is that landing for you? Intriguing. I mean, do get in touch with me via the Cheeky Temple. That's QIKI Temple on Facebook, or my website, which is claraapollo.com. All the information about my online Qigong teachings are on there, and the links to the various episodes of Wan Chi and Chi Time that have come through UK Health Radio over the years. And even I think on SoundCloud, Clara Apollo's Chi Time, spelled CHI, you will find an episode where Tallulah Randall also is on, because we've known each other for quite some time now. Total support of you, sister.
That's all in you, right back at you.
Oh, yeah. So I would love to play one of your mantras as an outro. And it's on this theme of, radiate love, and that we are the love that we want to see in the world, and that it's not a wussy, fluffy thing. There's a real substance and power and strength, and almost like fierce warrior. I'm standing up for what I know to be true. What is the love? And at the end of Chi Time recently, I've been sort of playing really cool cover versions of things. And I'm like, Tallulah hasn't actually done strictly a cover version of anything. And then I thought, well, are mantras kind of like a cover version? Because
Interesting.
no one will have done the Gayatri mantra like you. No one will have done the Ganesha mantra like you. And no one will have done the Heart Sutra mantra like you. And this one, yeah, I would really love to share. So I don't know how you feel about mantras
Beautiful.
being cover versions.
I think it's a really, I'd never thought of that before. So it's a really interesting thing to add to my things to sit with. And
Yes.
actually, we're going to, for this album, we're actually going to do another version of the Heart Sutra, because the combination of harp and double bass on this melody that you're about to play is just epic. It's so amazing. So I was just like, I can't not record it with them. So yeah, we're gonna do another version. So I'll be doing a cover of my own, covering myself.
Yes.
my mantra cover.
Oh, brilliant. Oh,
It's
Tallulah,
okay.
thank you. Thank you so much for being on Chi Time again.
You for inviting me so much. It's really beautiful to chat with you, and feels really nourishing and inspiring. So thank you.
Yeah, just oh, you're so welcome. Always a joy. And if you want to find out more about Tallulah, it's tallularandall.com, remember. So this track, Heart Sutra, is from your Mantras album, so that's available off the website, isn't it? Yep. And so yeah, just come into this space of gathering us all in after all this chat about sound and qigong and being and where you're placing your energy. and just breathing that into your heart and just knowing that you really are enough. You are a winner. You're already succeeding. Think sperm and egg, that kind of thing. And you are the light that this world needs. The light within you is what we need, and we help to illuminate each other. And that's definitely something that Tallulah Rendell brings into the world. So enjoy her delightful Heart Sutra, and I'll see you next week with Red School's Alexandra Pope. So till then, keep your chi up, my friends, and thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to Chi Time with Clara Apollo on UK Health Radio.